And good morning, church. It's a blessing to be in your midst. Each time I come to Tennessee, I feel at home because I am part of the place. I'm part of Mount Zion since 2010, when God connected us. Okay? I didn't know Pastor Obi before, you know, but when he had that meeting in Washington, D.C. in 2010, you know, we heard about it. I don't want to go into the story because we heard about this meeting through Keziah when Keziah was in Florida and they didn't know themselves. It's a long story, but only God knows why he connects people. And when we, as soon as Keziah called me from Florida and told me, Mommy, a friend told me about this meeting and it's going on in Washington, D.C., my heart received it. Because anything America, God has called us to pray for America and for the nations of the world. So when we got there, we met Pastor Obi. We didn't even know he was the organizer or anything. We were not interested in all those things. We were interested in what God was doing. But after we finished that program and we went back to Maryland, where we stayed, and we were praying, God started telling us, I want you to walk with my servant. I say, ha. Okay, as if it was not enough. We got back to New Jersey. Each time we came to meet him, he would say, I want you to walk with him. And he kept on and he said so many things. So we called him and told him, this is what God is saying. Well, you know him, he took his time to, then eventually he received it too. And we started working together. And that is why, you know, rain or shine, we are with him and we are for him, irrespective of whatever is happening. Amen? We feel really, really connected. And we'll continue to be connected until the Lord says otherwise. Amen? Praise the Lord. And since then, I have seen the hand of the Lord on him and in Mount Zion, the ministry, and even ASLPN. It's been so great. I was so overwhelmed when I got here last Wednesday and saw, well, we've been hearing about this place. You needed to know where he started and where he is right now, what God has done. And so I say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my very soul shall shout hallelujah. Praise God for saving me and you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pastor B told me, oh, you're going to share with us this morning. You know, I wasn't prepared. I didn't know. But I have always relied on the Holy Spirit for everything. When you know that there's nothing you do by your own power and strength, and that you have a God who is mighty to keep, you know, you don't fear anything, any situation. Up until this morning, because we had been going. And when we came back last night, I was fagged out. They were downstairs and I went and rested. But this morning I say, God, what are we going to share? He said, I want you to share the love of Christ. And you can tell that this morning, it's all about the love of Christ. In fact, from the songs and everything, it's been the love of God, right? And so I was sitting there. I said, oh, this sermon has been preached. If I had my way, we should all, you know, forget about talking more, because God had done it, has spoken it, laid it in our hearts through songs, through all the, from the prayer time, from the introduction of the service. So our God is good. Our God is good. He is a great God. He is a mighty God. He is a loving Father. He is love himself. Hallelujah. And so we cannot regret knowing him. I tell people that the best thing and the greatest thing that has happened to us is knowing him, having him as our Father and as our God. Shall we pray? You are a great God. You are a great God. You are a great, a mighty God. That's all I know. You are a great, great God. You are a great, a loving God. You are a great, a marvelous God. That's all I know. Abba, Father, you are a great God. You are a mighty God, and your spirit is one, the same, everywhere. Papa, this morning, you want us to share your love. Ramo sheki marabo sendeliria. Leria mahuri ki baba sandalaria mahuri. Love of Jesus is wonderful. Love of Jesus is marvelous. Love of Jesus is beautiful. Oh, wonderful love. It's so high, I can get over it so deep. I can get into it so wide. I can get around it. Oh, wonderful love. Papa, you are love yourself. And we appreciate you. Papa, we love you too. And this is why we are gathered. And each time we think of you and of your love for us, we cannot help but praise you. We cannot help but magnify your name. Your love is so great. It's so sweet. It's inevitable, inestimable. It's big, bigger than we can imagine. Father, we magnify you. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you, O God. Ramoshiki marabo sendeleria. For showing us your way and for pointing it to us. This morning, O Lord, we have no wisdom, no power, no knowledge of our own. We depend on you because without you we can do nothing. And so we call on you this morning to brood over us. Even as we share your word, teach us. Teach us your ways and show us your path. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Abba Father, for being in our midst. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See, we many times talk of big revelations and so many other things. And we forget the rudiments, the basic things, the most important things that we need to know as children of God and need to practice. Not just knowing, practicing. And one of those things is love. This same love that God is and that God has for us. Amen? Amen. It's very, very important. As we go through the scriptures, you will see how important it is to love. When you know that whatever you do, anything you do, whatever you are, and it's not out of love, it's vain. Whatever you do is not done in love, it's vain. No matter how good you are, even in preaching, in singing, in giving, everything, it has to be by love. Otherwise, God does not accept it. So it's very important that we pay attention to this subject, love. Because that is God. One day I was about to leave my house in the morning. That was where we were in back in Nigeria. I just to step outside the door, he stopped me. He said, my daughter, if you want me to work, W-O-R-K, W-A-L-K. You walk in love. W-A-L-K. If you want me to work, you walk in love. And it meant a lot to me. You know, when God speaks to you, it means a lot to you. And so I know that I cannot live, I cannot help, I cannot walk, I cannot do anything without love. And this is why I love everybody. Whenever I see my fellow human beings, I love them. It gives me joy to see them. My heart doesn't jump when I see somebody. You know how when you don't feel right about somebody, you see that person, you kind of, you know, and you begin to be very, very careful. How careful can you be? Praise the Lord. I want us to go to the scripture, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, I'll begin to... I'll read from New Living Translation, and I'll read it from verse 1. He said, therefore, since we have been made right, we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. What Jesus Christ has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us. Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us, sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. What a great love. What a great... Can we compare this with what we do today? When somebody makes a little mistake, we hold on to it. And we are singing about it. We are dancing about it. We are holding on to it. We can't do anything with that person anymore. We judge and condemn. But Christ, while we were yet sinners, full of iniquity, full of impurities, he came and died for us. He gave his life. He gave a whole life for us. What can we give? What can we give for him? How much more our fellow human beings? As we are going through these scriptures, I would like us to be meditating, thinking of our lives. It's not just listening, just like Pastor said. It's not just reading scriptures We need to be intentional about our life in Christ. Because we are going somewhere. Amen? This life doesn't just end here. We are going somewhere. And God, who has given us his word and instructed us to obey, and to live by his word, is the one that will judge us. And he's going to judge us, you know, by the things he has told us to do. And so it's not about being important, being known, being all over the place and being popular. No. Because you can finish being all those things and you will not make it. So we need to be careful. We need to be intentional. We need to calm down and know where we're going, what this whole thing is all about. At a time, I was asking myself in my early days as a Christian, is it just about going to church, going to fellowship, going to, what, where will this thing end? And I got to know that it's all about obeying the word of God. And if you have the love of God, you cannot help but obey God. No matter how difficult it is. Because your mind is, what is God thinking? What is God feeling? What is God saying? Not about what man thinks. Don't worry about what man thinks about you. Because they can think you to hell. Man will always appreciate you, praise you for as long as you are doing what they want. They don't care about what God wants. So don't worry about praises. In fact, when people begin to praise you too much, look again. Check yourself. You know, I have been in ministries where prophecies come. People like it when God says, oh, I will bless you. You are good. You are this. But when it comes to rebuke, they don't like it. I like rebukes. Because that is what will help you to run this race to the end. And it emanates out of love you have for God. And this kind of love that God has is what he wants us to have for each other. And that's why in John chapter 13, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Please, if you find it before me, you are free to read so that we save time. John 13, verse 34.
A new commandment I give unto you, mm-hmm. that ye love one another. Mm-hmm. I have loved you, that ye also love one another.
Yes.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one for another.
Amen. 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 This commandment is not really new, but God gave it to us. It's been there from the Old Testament when he says, love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with everything. Okay? And now he is giving it to us. You know? And when God gives us commandments like this, you don't need to be told that it's very important to him. It's love, 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 love all over the place. And we neglect that and we want to do big, big things, miracle, this and that. There's no miracle as big as obeying God's commandment, being able to obey God's commandment. Mm-hmm. He says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other as I have loved you. You see this kind of love that God had for us? While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Can we afford to do that? Can we afford to lay down our lives for one another, for each other? If that is the case, why do we criticize people? Why do we look down on people? Why do we not care about, you know, oh, look at her dress. She's always dressing like this. You that dress well, you have plenty. Why don't you give it to her? So that she will dress like you. So that she will be what you are expecting. The love that Jesus has for us. He says in verse 35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are what? My disciples. They don't know you because you carry Bible. And you quote all the scriptures. And you do so, so very well in the eyes of man. They know you by the love you exhibit towards each other. You know, if I walk into any place, I you know, perceive the atmosphere. If that, I can't walk where there is no love. Where people don't practice love. Where there is discrimination, division. segregation of all sorts. Amen? We all are one before the Lord. Whether your blood is, whether you are white, you are green, you are yellow, you are black, we are one before the Lord. Because if our bodies are cut through, it's the same red blood that will come out. And Jesus Christ died for all of us. So all this discrimination, segregation, division, partition, they were doing it in Corinth. And Paul rebuked them. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who has bewitched you? That is not God. The Spirit of God is one. Look at, I came, he said, I want you to talk about the love of Christ. And I walked in here, it's all about love. That is his spirit. I was just here rejoicing and very happy. Every word spoken here is the same thing as I have. Praise the Lord. So let us endeavor to walk in this love so that we'll show people, you know, if you like Mount Zion, you go anywhere and people are watching you, they will be watching the way you treat each other. And they will assess you by that. Me, that's how I assess. You know, you can come among you, everybody's rejoicing, everybody, and you see somebody that is, you know, that is not looking as he ought to, and nobody notices that person. I say, no, this congregation, The Bible says that by their fruit, you shall know them. He wants us to love. So we need to begin now to consider this subject, love. How important it is to God. Let us go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Well, if you see it, please help me again. 1 John chapter 4, from verse 7. Okay, let us take it one after the other. Let us, you see, another command in another book. Let us love one another. That shows that it is important to God. Okay? And if you do not love, go ahead, read that next verse. Anybody that does not love does not know God. So consider yourself. Judge yourself by yourself. Is there anybody that you do not love? Is there anybody that you see and you look down on that person? It's not about your friend or your blood relation. Anybody. Is there anybody that you despise? Then you know that you are not walking in love. Okay? And if you don't walk in love, if you don't love, you know, you don't have God. As simple as that. Okay, continue. Okay? Because of the love he has for us, he sent his only, the only son that he had to die for us. What motivated him? Love. And even Christ, you know, Christ could refuse to die. He could refuse to die. He had every right to refuse. But he went ahead. He went ahead to die for us. Why? What motivated him? The same love. Okay? He went and died for us. This morning, as we were in praise and worship, it was mentioned what Jesus Christ did for us. Right? Okay. Go ahead.
This is
Go ahead. Amen. Amen. You see, this is God's concern. He wants us, he gave us example of how to love, how to do things. You see, we read the scriptures, we just read the scriptures and we know the scriptures and we carry the scriptures about and preach and then, you know, sing about it and quote. But God wants us to apply. To apply the scripture to our daily life. It's very important because it doesn't make sense that you know it and you don't do it. He wants us to have this kind of love for one another. You remember that nobody sees him. There is nothing we do for him. He does not eat yam. He does not eat rice. We can't give him money. He gives us everything. All right? But what you do to what I do to Batmatis is what I do to God. The way I regard my sister Mama Rachel is the way I regard God. I hope we know that. From the scripture that says, oh, I was in prison, you did not visit me. I was naked, you did not feed me. This and that you did not do. And they were asking him, when were you in prison? He was never in prison. But he's telling us that whatever you do to your fellow human being, you are doing it to me. Doesn't that tell you something? And if we have that understanding, why should we be despising people? Why should we be putting people down? Why should we be, treating people the way we do? Why is it that we are not considering the feelings of others? Why is it that we are so selfish? Thinking about ourselves, me. When Bible has told you to prefer others to yourself. And to appreciate one another. To love one another. Praise the Lord. I just want us to begin today to meditate more on this love. If you don't know how to practice it, how to walk in it, go and pray. God will help you. There was a time that was my prayer. God, please teach me how to love. Show me. He will give you deep revelation on love. Love is not a lip service. Oh, sister, I love you. I love you. What do you do when you don't see your sister? What do you do when you hear that your sister is in difficulty? What do you do when, your sister has an appointment somewhere and she needs a ride from you? How willing are you to give her the ride? Or even if you give her a ride, you want something back. Oh, you have to chip in for fuel. Whether she chips in or not, you will still be driving your car, won't you? Praise the Lord. Continue, my sister. Are you done?
No one has ever seen God.
Amen.
And his love is brought to full expression.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 13, and God has given us his spirit as proof that we believe in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son the Savior of the world. Mm-hmm. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God.
I want you to read it to verse 19.
Okay. Have God living in them and they live in God. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love
God is love. I want us to understand this. God is love. Okay? So, when you understand that God is love, you will be intentional about it. And love your fellow human beings. it's not this. You know, there are so many kinds of love. We have filial love, the love we have for our children, our friends. We have erotic love. But those are not what God is talking about. Because erotic love is more of lust, which is what we mostly have. This kind of love that makes us have soul ties with human beings. And when you have such love with human beings, that is why it is difficult for you to forgive. Okay? But when you have agape love, which God is talking about, it's unconditional. She has done this today. And you forgive her very easily, just like Jesus forgives us. But we have erotic love, filial love, all this mundane love that makes people not tell people the truth because you are caring about how they feel. You don't care about how God feels. And so when you see somebody rotting in sin, you just, paint it and then sweep the thing under the rug instead of addressing the issue to help your sister to be saved. I know a sister, I read the testimony of a sister that died. Well, she wasn't born again and she died. And from hell, she realized that she was in hell because she did not receive Christ. She didn't know about Christ. And yet she had a very close friend that was born again. And they were doing everything together, enjoying themselves, partying and doing things, eating together. She never told her friend about the love of Christ. She never told her friend that she should receive Christ. And when this friend died, she went to hell and realized that it was because she did not give her life to Christ that she died. How can you say this person is your friend you love and you can't? The first thing you should tell anybody that comes your way is about Christ. The love of Christ, because you don't want her to perish in hell. But some of us today have not even told our family members about Christ, that they should be born again, because we are afraid of what they will feel, what they will say. So this lady wrote to her friend from hell. So when she read this letter, this was happening in the dream. She, in her dream, saw this letter from her friend. The friend was telling her, accusing her of making her, that she was responsible for her being in hell. Because that they were friends, she didn't tell her the truth. She didn't tell her that if she did not receive Christ, she would go to hell. She had to learn that in hell. And so she was writing to this her friend. We were doing everything together, saying together, loving ourselves together, erotic love. Loving together, and yet you did not tell me this. And I'm here, and you are responsible for it. So this lady felt so convicted. So as soon as she woke up, when you are convicted, how it is, you want to make amendments immediately. So now she picked up her phone and started calling her friend. And her husband, the friend's husband, picked the phone. And she said, please, let me speak to my friend. He said, your friend passed yesterday. So it was too late. So tell me, what kind of love were they sharing? What kind of love? Let us examine ourselves. Some of us are still practicing that kind of love. Good weather friendship. That's what it is called. When the going is good, you are loving. That is not what God is talking to us about. We need to have true agape love. And when you have true agape love, you'll be able to... Some of us are still bearing hurt, malice. Oh, she did this to me, did that to me, did the other one to me. How many years ago? It's still fresh in your spirit. What kind of love do you have? Erotic love. If you have true agape love, you will do what God says to. You will forgive. And forgive, just like Jesus forgives us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Have you finished reading, my dear? Okay.
Of the day of judgment, but we can face him
perfect love. King James says, perfect love casteth out fear. If you have true love, there is no need for feeling insecure. You have this self-confidence that Jesus is Lord. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. You will have no need for fearing your sister or your brother, thinking that he is out there to hurt you. Hurt you for what? We need to have perfect fear, perfect love. Agape love is the perfect love. You know, and if you have agape love, you'll be able to bear with your sister. You'll be able to endure. Anyway, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because time is flying. Let us quickly go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay. Let me read it from King James. Praise the Lord. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Charity here is love. And have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Okay? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. How about that? If you do all those good things, all those things that people like to see, all those you are giving $1 million when others are giving $10. It's okay. But what is your motive? What do you have at the back of your mind? To be known? To be seen? Don't forget the story of the widow in the temple where they were giving offering, right? People gave millions. People gave all kinds of things. But God notice that one that gave farthing. He saw her motive. He saw her heart. He saw everything. He knows our motive. Even as we are sitting here, God knows our thoughts. We cannot hide from him. Eh? Neither can we challenge him or battle with him. If he handles you, you break to pieces. So there's no need pretending. There's no need playing hypocrisy. Blowing hot and cold. Be yourself. Be real. Walk in love. Agape love. Let people know you don't have double personalities. You are in church, you are a different person. Out there, you are a different person. Doesn't God see you? He sees you. He knows you. He knows your thoughts. What you think about your neighbor. He knows everything. And that is how he judges you. Okay, so whatever we are doing, and we are not doing it out of, we are doing it so that, oh, Pastor B will see me. Oh, this person will. That is nonsense. Pastor B is running his own race. If Pastor B doesn't practice what God is saying that should be practiced, he is in trouble. So be yourself. Understand the word of God. And live for God, not for any man. Praise the Lord. So let us learn to do everything out of love. In love, because we love God. Or because we love our fellow human. I'm doing this for her because I truly, truly love her. And if I love Chrissy, I cannot be happy when Chrissy is unhappy. I will do everything in my power to make sure that that thing that is causing her unhappiness is removed, taken care of. Somebody comes and knocks, oh, please, I need this for me and my children. We don't have enough. You have a bag of rice behind your doors in your store. And you tell the person, oh, come, let us pray. God will help you. What kind of help is that? If somebody comes to you for help, God had known why he sent that person to you. Check yourself. Check yourself. It's not everything that you go to pray about. Maybe somebody needs help, clothes, money, or whatever. It's not only when you have your bank account filled up that you can help somebody, no. And some people may have some, if you have $100 in your account and somebody comes with the need of $60, you better give it. Because God has seen that one in your account. And he is testing your love. Amen? Let us look at these little things and stop lying to God. Let us not be like Ananias and Sapphira. Amen? Let us do because others are doing. And you are not doing it for real. Praise the Lord. So we have to, whatever we do, not out of love, is vain, nonsense. And then he says that love, charity, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. This thing is taking root in the body of Christ. Envy. Envy. If you have true love, there will be no need for envy. Hey, Mama Grace, look at her beautiful dress. Oh, I don't have that kind of dress. I need that kind of dress. Appreciate God for what Mama Grace has. Don't be jealous. Don't envy her. Oh, she is singing very well in the choir. She's a good pianist. She's appreciate her. Appreciate God for her. Don't envy her. Because you have your own virtue. You have your own gift. And if we understand this love, there won't be division among us. There will not be hatred among us. There will not be envy. There won't be any need for jealousy. Amen? You will see two people they have met. They have wonderful friends. Somewhere along the line, they become enemies. Why? Because of that unhealthy love that they are practicing, not agape love. You should be mindful of the love you are practicing. You are showing to your fellow human beings. That love will make you, you know, tell her the truth, help her when she needs help, you know, rejoice with her when she's rejoicing, mourn with her when she's mourning. These are the things that God has instructed us to be doing, and it can only be done out of love. Amen? It suffereth long. How long do we suffer with our fellow human beings? How long suffering are we? Eh? Just step on somebody's toes by mistake and see her reaction. As if you did it deliberately. It doesn't show love. Praise the Lord. Love, charity, envieth not, vaunted not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. You know, what is puffing us up? Why are we proud? Why do we feel that important? What is it that we have that is not given to us by God or made us by God? Amen? Let us check ourselves with these things. We talk about humility. We are all supposed to be humble. Where are we going with all that boogie boogie we are doing? Let us humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and he will do what? Exalt us. Love does not behave itself unseemly. If you truly love your neighbor, you will not be doing that thing that will be offending her or upsetting her. Even in your dressing, you show love. You just don't dress anyhow. You know, there's a way you dress, you offend your neighbor. You know that, right? Because today, there is a lot of crazy fashion going on. Crazy fashion that God did not introduce. See people wearing tattered clothes, and some of them will wear it to the altar. And people will close their eyes. When we were young, if your dress tore anywhere, you quickly sew it up. But today we use our money to go to the store to buy tattered ones. There was one I saw, I said, what is this? And this woman had children. What is she teaching them? The thing, this whole place is tattered and open. So what do you want the children to learn from you? We love does not behave itself unseemly. You don't act like a wild beast as you are everywhere, because it's offensive. The Bible says that offense will come, but woe unto those through whom offense will come. God is our judge. So let us be mindful. Well, Pastor told me I'll stop by 12:15, and it's 12:15. Praise the Lord. I want to be obedient. Praise the Lord. Okay, so to round up, let us be obedient to God. Let us go back intentionally and plead with God, because without this love, we are not going anywhere. It is here that we practice love. They don't teach people how to practice love in heaven. If you don't learn it here, you are not going anywhere. So if you want to make eternal life, do the things that are essential, things that are worth doing, things that God is demanding from us to do. Praise the Lord. Let me stop it here. Amen.